Al Bradbury will be the head referee for the 103rd edition of the Grey Cup. It'll be his fourth Grey Cup, but first as the head referee. Al, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing?
Very well. Thanks for having me here.
Obviously, it's a big honor. It's a, you know, in the refereeing world, you want to be the guy who's going to be at the Grey Cup on the field. This will be your first one as the referee. You've been the line judge twice, and then you were the alternate referee in 2011. How different is the position of referee to line judge for you?
The referee is actually the crew chief. He is going to be the leader out there. The referee has extra responsibilities as far as getting the crew and focused down on the game, getting us ready to go out as a third team, as we always say we're out there. So the meetings are going to be like that, and we're going to be getting ourselves on the same page, working well together. So we have the communication out there. The mechanics are all the same for all of us, and the rules are always the same, but you got to gel down as a unit, just like an offensive unit has to gel down and a defensive unit has to gel down. We have to work to get to that point.
Now, before you worked in crews, and when Glenn Johnson took over, you went back to kind of individual, wasn't the same crew all the time. Do you prefer that, or did you like the crew where you knew the same guys all the time?
Well, both will have their attributes, obviously. We always kind of refer to it as we're one big team. That group of officials is one big team, and we can mix up our lines just like any other sport can mix up their lines. We'll have pairings at times where guys will work weeks together. A sideline might work well together. A line of scrimmage might work together. Referee umpire might work a few games together. But overall, since we're supposed to have the consistency all the way through, when you think of it, we'll always have a better consistency when we're in the mix together, and then you'll always work hard together and you'll be together.
For you on game day on the field, who do you work? Are you and the umpire the most closely related? Who are you, I guess, have to be on page with the most of the other six officials?
Well, my responsibility, everybody. Okay. I have to be on page with everybody. But yes, the referee umpire work tandem. We're splitting our line. He has holding on his side. I have holding on my side. I have the extra responsibility of the quarterback as he moves. But when my quarterback moves into a position onto the side, my sideline official is going to help me out there. So we know when our switches are happening. We know when we're going to have double eyes on it and single responsibility.
You mentioned how you sit down with the crew and you will be the one kind of overseeing going through film and watching it. What is the game plan for the officials leading into the Grey Cup?
Well, first off, everybody is participating in those meetings.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to buy in and participate and be a part of that crew. And everybody has equal responsibility. Whatever happens out there, you have to call it. And if it's in your area, you're calling it. If it's coming to your area, you're seeing it. But we have responsibility for the whole field, 65 yards wide, and from end zone to end zone, deadline to deadline. Right. So everybody is part of everything. As far as how I'm getting them ready this week, it's the same that we do pretty much every week. We're going to have our film. We're going to have conversations as to what we might expect to see, weather conditions. There's special situations in this. Overtime here is a little bit different because we're playing right to the end.
Yeah.
You know, all those special things that anybody's kept in their back pocket for the special moment. Well, the Grey Cup's a special moment. So we could see those kick-out plays. We could see all those things that just aren't the everyday play.
How often do you study the rule book?
Every day. Every day. It doesn't matter. 365 a year. And, my wife laughs because it's on us when we go for a cruise. It's in my bag and I've got it. And, you know, it's not obviously every single moment of the day, but something will pop up into my head and I'll start thinking of it. And the rule book changes every year.
Yeah.
So you can't just rest on your laurels with it. The rule book changes every year. And we saw a number of rules change this year. And so you have to be on your game with it, get a good understanding. And what I've always found the importance of is knowing the spirit of the rule and looking at the reason for the rule. And the one thing I've found great with the CFL is we have such a good heritage and still a lot of people around us that are still part of it. They can tell you about certain plays that created rules.
Al Bradbury joins us. He will be the referee for the 103rd Grey Cup. It'll be his fourth Grey Cup and first time as the head official, the head referee. You look at the Edmonton Eskimos, and them and Calgary were the two least penalized teams in the league. As a guy who's calling the penalties, what were they doing better than other teams not to get flagged as often?
Playing fairly, I guess, would be the way of saying it. Whether you know, I would never want to speak to coaching philosophies or how they're managing that and understanding of it. I mean, you know, one team we saw barely had any health issues. They kept their roster quite healthy, and so the players understand it and they get their veterans in there to move forward. So their reasoning, that would probably be a better question to a coach, is how they got them to that point. But they just didn't create penalties.
So when you go into a game knowing a team has been that way all year long, and obviously you expect them to play better, but how do you prepare as far as you mentioned, well, there's some things we might think we see. So do you watch the game film and say, okay, we think Edmonton might attack this way, so let's be more leery of, I don't know, what, maybe a certain guy holds there at times. Like, what are you watching on film that doesn't, I guess, influence you on game day? Like, I'm assuming that's got to be the balance, right? You want to watch something but not have a preconceived notion of what you might see.
Yeah, and I think you hit it there. The foul is the foul. You can't watch a foul from before and say it's going to happen again. The play is the play, and that play is when there is going to be or not going to be a foul. We work again on making sure that we are looking into our keys. We have our keys. We know what we're looking for. If the ball is coming your direction on the sweep and you're going to look at the corner block and you're going to get a good angle on that, and if you have to move to position so you can see separation and see who's where and where the hands are, is there a pull, is there a distinct advantage as it's going around the corner, you know, those are the things that as an official you have to recognize, see the play, receive the play, and officiate the play.
Is there a foul that's more difficult to pick up as an official? Like when you look at, you know, whether it's pass interference or holding, is there one where, and you've been in a lot of different positions as an official, do you find that there's one that you got to be more focused on because players maybe can sneak past the officials?
Well, it depends. I we were talking off air beforehand, and the line of scrimmage in the CFL is phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. In our game, when a player can hit the line going as fast as he can, you know, running a 4-10, 40, and he hits that line as the ball is being snapped, and everybody says, that guy's offside. And then you go film or you go frame by frame, and you realize he's not. I mean, that's a skill position for us. And so, yeah, that can fool a lot of people. The other, you know, subtleties, no, I don't think there's one particular foul that, you know, that's why you just sit there and you let the play happen. You don't think the foul is going to happen. You let the foul happen, and it is a foul or it's not a foul. And that's the trick. You can't assume and guess. You have to sit there and look and evaluate each play as it happens.
Which fan base catcalls the referees more than the other ones in your history, 16 years in the league?
As the years go on, you do get recognized a little bit more, yeah. And depending on where you are, I mean, we all know that in old Ivor Wynne, you were quite cozy with everyone. And I actually grew up in Burlington, Ontario, which is right beside Hamilton. So I had longtime friends there that would recognize me and talk about my school years and things like that. So, yeah, I guess Hamilton, because I was known as a child there as well.
Okay.
They probably got me. But everywhere you go, the beauty of this league is it's so communal. When you go into stadiums and people do recognize you and talk to you and they enjoy seeing you. And then once the game's on, they paid their dues to get there and they want to see the game. So if they want to voice their opinion, they're voicing. That's how it goes.
Al Bradbury joins us, referee for the 103rd Grey Cup. How do you get the thick skin? Because most people, like outside of family, no one really cheers for the referees. Like, if you make a call and it's the right call, there's still half the people who think it's the wrong call, right?
Exactly. Like, there's two sides to a coin.
How do you build that tolerance up not to take it personally because there's no home game for officials?
Yeah. Well, I might have the advantage of I've been a police officer for 28 years, so I have a bit of an advantage of people aren't always happy when I come to their door.
Okay.
And so I may have grown and learned from there. But, you know, the louder it gets, the more that noise is unheard.
Okay.
Right? So a great loud crowd is that white noise that focuses you down, and you're just inside those white lines. Right? That's where the game is. You're staying inside, and the outside of it is for them. Right? And we're working towards the inside of the field.
What has made you a good official?
Well, you hit a number of points there. Having that thick skin, it does. Great family support. My wife's been an official, a basketball official at the university level for almost as long as I've been doing football.
Okay.
So we have a good communication and understanding. The group, the brethren, my what we call FOAs, so my Football Official Association that I started with, to the CFL, that group is always supportive of each other. We all know there's going to be a dark day. You're going to make a mistake. Sometimes it happens. It's how you respond to that mistake and whether you can build on the strength of knowing that if I took one play away in a game, I didn't make any mistakes, and that, so I went forward and was able to keep on focusing down and the support of the people around you.
One last one. We had Bud on Tuesday, and, you know, and I'm sure you watched the play. It was, you know, the East Final game, they said they graded out. It was one of the best officiated games of the year. The West Final was good. Everybody knows what happened on the replay and kind of how it was botched in Bud's eyes. When you watch that, What do you feel like, was it miscommunication was the biggest letdown afterwards? As the guy who's talking to command center, you know, do you talk with Glenn Johnson, those guys say, okay, we have to do this to ensure that doesn't happen again?
Well, we will talk about different things. I mean, what we have to do is we have to get a ruling on the field, and we have to push forward from there. And so when you get that first bit of communication down and we go forward, that particular incident, I can't really comment to it because I haven't really talked to everybody involved in that. But I've been there where if we don't get that first ruling down and say this is what we saw on the field and this is what we're going to start with, that's where you got to start off with, and then you can progress forward.
One last one for you, Al. I really appreciate it. We just had Matt Dunnigan on, and he talked about how, man, you know what, losing the Grey Cup or the bad play in his career really haunts him. Is there a call that you look back on and you're like, God, I really wish I could have that one back?
I wish there was only one, but of course there, you know, there's not a lot. But you know, and to be honest with you, some of the toughest calls aren't even at the CFL level.
Yeah.
You know, we all still officiate in the amateur ranks with our FOAs, and I officiate basketball as well at university and down to, you know, high school level. And sometimes there's just one where you just, whether it's positioning or whichever, you just, and it was impactive, and you know, you figure out later that you probably did get that wrong, but you can't get them back, but you can officiate better the rest of the game if you can just draw down and say, you know, I'm not going to let that one affect me. That one play does not make a season.
So do you watch film on yourself? So if you feel, oh, I was out of position by, and Bud talked to me sometimes, he goes, it's really sometimes 3 inches or four, where if you're just at the wrong angle, you're not seeing what you should be seeing. Do you watch yourself on tape? Like, how do you get to know or have better positioning as an official?
Yeah, I actually pretty much weekly to, you know, speak with my coach, and we have coaches. So Dave Ewell's my coach.
Okay.
And he's you know, he's looked at it, and Dave Ewell is Dave Ewell, and if you know the CFL, know Dave Ewell.
Yes.
So therefore, he literally moved me by 2 yards on punts and a yard back on sweeps when it's coming my way, just to let it come to you one more second, and it was a drastic difference as what I was seeing.
Okay.
And whether you're taking that moment of just, you know, him understanding because he's seen that play come around that corner a number of times, and not officiate to the 1% time that something bad could happen, officiate to the 99% time, and then that 1% you're ready to adjust.
Al, I really appreciate you coming down. Best of luck in your first Grey Cup. Enjoy it.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.